talking about the book of Joshua and entering the promised land and from the scriptures, but it's interesting, and we'll talk more about it next week, is that when God's people actually crossed over the Jordan River into the promised land, the Lord had them do something interesting. From the Jordan River, they took 12 stones and they planted them on the other side of the Jordan in the promised land. And they said, well, why are we doing this? And they said, because we want the next generation to look at those stones and ask, what do these stones mean? And they were a reminder of what God does, that God was for them and had given them a land. And so I pray, please, Frank, get some good pictures of everybody, because I'm looking at these stones that God have, a living monument of what God's done and he's going to do in and through our lives. And so, Lord, thank you for this time we can spend in your word, and pray that you'd open it up before us, reveal it to us, and just give us an abundance of grace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you are new here, I want to introduce you. Just kind of the way we roll in Every Nation New Jersey is we want this to be an okay place to not be okay. You know what I mean? So like by that, I should preface that. This is an okay place to not be okay, but it's not okay to not be okay with not being okay. Okay? You got that, right? Don't make me repeat that. But that's kind of who we want to be. For that to be true, it also has to be not okay for me in certain things. And so this has to be safe for all of us to be honest and real with one another, pastors included, okay? And so I'm going to share a little bit of my junk with you this morning. So aren't you glad you came your first time here today? And here's what I mean is I have some issues. And one of them, if I was to be honest with you, is I'm a bit of a gym junkie. All right, so I have a little bit of addiction, going to the gym, working out. I've always had that, and so some of you know that I've come off. In May, I had major back surgery. They fused S1 to L5, and so it took a little bit of a beating out of me, more than I had anticipated. But I was not supposed to lift weights for a year, and so I was about 2.5 months into it, and I was like, I can't stand it. I gotta get into the gym and just do something. And so I waited for my wife to go to work so I wouldn't get in trouble, and then I snuck to the gym. And this went on once or twice until I felt like I was having an affair, right? I felt like I was cheating on my girl, and so I was like, okay, I can't stand it. So I had to be real with her. I'm like, honey, I gotta share something with you. I've been going to the gym, all right? And so kind of we had this moment of honesty and transparency, and so she got it. But gym, the gym for me at least, is really a place of personal revelation. And so here's what I'll share with you. One time, I remember I'm in my gym, New York Sports Club in Caldwell, and there's this guy on the treadmill, and he's running, and yet he's making these noises you expect the odd, something like that, but he's like, ah, and it was so loud that people stopped and a crowd was gathering around this guy. It's like, who is this freak show, right? And so it was kind of entertainment, and so I just thought, man, there's some weird people in this gym. And I usually lift with my earphones in, and I remember I was working out, and one of my earbuds fell out, and suddenly as I'm lifting, I hear, I'm like, oh no, I'm that guy too, right? And so I learned about myself that I have issues. Then it's also a place of inspiration. So on those same treadmills, there was an older gentleman, and you could tell he hadn't been in the gym, but he's going to make it happen. And so he was running on the treadmill, and he was trying to watch the TV at the same time. And it could be a little bit of a challenge, and he misses the tread. And sure enough, he falls, and as he's falling, he grabs a hold of the railings of the treadmill, and so his feet come out from under him, and so I can smell skin burning as he's just not letting go of the thing. And then we're like, dude, let go. He lets go with one hand, and then he switches and does the other one, and we're like, dude. And so it really ministered to me. I'm like, yeah, that's it, buddy, never give up, despite the fact you need a skin graft now, right? And so that was inspiring to me. And then we have I have life lessons. And so, men, you might want to listen on this one. So we have a girl at our gym. Her name is Tara. She competes at Miss Fitness USA type events. this chick is a beast, okay? Like, and I mean that in a very affectionate way, because she's over there with the guys throwing the dumbbells around. She's like ripped, and I remember I didn't really know her at the time, and she, I'm working on the lat row, and she comes over and she wants to jump in, and I get nervous. Like, I'm nervous about it. I'm like, and so I just say the first thing that came to my mind, and I noticed she had recently had a child, and she dropped her baby off at daycare there, and I was like, Miss, you know, hey, I'm just, man, you're just so great at what you do here in the gym, and can I just tell you that your son is so handsome? And she said, thank you, and she is a girl, okay? So swing and a miss on that one, right? So men, just leave it, just don't go there, okay? That's what, that was the lesson learned there. And so, my gymnasium where I work out, it's my mission field. All right, it's where God sent me, and so I'm in there, and so I try to befriend people, learn people's names and whatnot. In fact, I invited a lot of guys to our grand opening, and I don't see one of them in here today. So next time they want a spot from me, all right, on the bench press, I'll be just like, I'm going to let them go. I'm like, okay, you're going to come to church next time? All right, we'll see if I'm going to lift that off you. But it's my mission field, and so ladies, I don't know if this isn't new for you. Like, you might see, like, the way men show affection for one another is that we bust each other's chops, okay? I'll just say it that way. And that's what we do, and that's how we show affection for one another. And so there's a lot of that going on in the gym. We're busting on each other. And so men, the guys will see that I carry this book around me in the gym. And so this is the book. And in the book, before I work out, I put down all the exercises I'm going to do. And if it's written in the book, I got to do it. Otherwise, so I can't wimp out or other, because it's in the book. And so everyone sees me kind of carrying the book around and doing this. And until one time, this enormous guy, he sees me. I'm over in a set, and he's like, I got your book now. And he starts like kind of going through the book. And then suddenly terror struck my heart. Because if you can see, this is Loft. My wife works for Ann Taylor Loft. If you're not familiar with it, women's apparel, okay? So I immediately thought of different ways I could lie about what it is, and I feel like I would be godly and righteous in lying, because I could never show my face in the gym again if they found out. But here's what I brought all this in and said all this to get to one simple stinking point, is this. Do you know that Psalm 139 says that God has a book, and that your name's written in it, and that all your days are written in His book, that God has a purpose and a plan distinct for you. Like, not just us and His church, but rather you, that you've been uniquely made and wired by God. You know, the book of Ephesians chapter 2 says this, that there are good works that God's prepared for you to walk in. And so if last week, if you weren't here, we talked about this, is that God has a destiny for your life, a destination for you. And as you're on this path, we learned last week that you're going to have to see through the eyes of faith. And this week, we're going to learn something new, is this, is if you want to walk in the destiny, God's purpose for your life, then you're going to need this. We're going to read today four times in the book of Joshua chapter 1 that God's going to tell Joshua to be strong and courageous, to be strong and courageous, four separate occasions. And so here's the reason why, is because if fear is a thief. Like, fear will rob you of your destiny, of God's calling, of God's purposes for your life. So Winston Churchill, I don't know if we have the quote in the back there, Michael, but Winston Churchill, he said this. He said, courage is rightly esteemed the first of human qualities, because it has been said it is the quality which guarantees all the others. And so I don't know if you catch that, but you can have the virtue of love, but if you don't have courage, then you won't be able to walk in the love that you're experienced. You can have truth or knowledge, but if you lack the courage to walk out that truth and that knowledge, it's worthless. Who cares? And in the same way, God can have a great destiny for your life, but if you lack courage to walk it out, once again, it's worthless. It's useless to us. And so God says to be strong and courageous four times to Joshua. And here's something, and we'll get to the text here in a minute, is here's something you got to recognize, that God's going to say, be strong and courageous. He doesn't say to feel strong and courageous. And that's an important distinction. Like, I see we got a few cops in here. We got Ryan, we got Bob in the back here. And so Bob, so we were in our Connect group the other day, and so I was like, bro, as an officer of the law, you must have faced some things that were some scary situations for you. And I'm like, dude, what do you do if you feel fear? And he's like, and I love this, I had to write it down, but he says this, he's like, well, bro, you can't turn back. He's like, it's my job. I have to walk in. And so really the reality is, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, it's your job to be strong and to create courageous, despite the fact how we might feel on the inside, that there's no turning back for us. But the good news is, you're going to see when God calls that He equips us. And so if you have a Bible, if not, it should be up on our screen. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read it. It goes like this. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. And so it's important for us to see that God basically, he tells Joshua, he says, hey, listen, Moses is dead. Moses has passed away. He says, now it's your turn. You're up. And so the reality is, as I see this at times, is kind of, we kind of think there's superheroes in the faith. And it's just not true. That I said that God has a unique destiny and a calling for your life. And so sometimes we read through this book and we just think that the disciples and other these people, they're like superheroes, they're outliers, they're X-Men, right? But the reality is that they're people like you and me. And so Hebrews 11 is the great hall of fame of faith. If you're familiar with the Bible, I reference it all the time, and it says that Noah by faith did this, and Abraham by faith did this, and David by faith did. Well, do you know what? Your name's in there. They just didn't get to it yet. It was like Ernie by faith did what? Zart by faith, you know, Gene Lee by faith. Notice I didn't say anybody on this side yet, so I'll get Rahab, who by faith does great things and fulfills it. So insert your name into that thing. That, Acts 28, the book of Acts, it's the acts of the early church, what they did. And I want to let every nation in New Jersey know this. You're Acts 29. See, the book ends at 28, but it's waiting for you to step up, and now you take your part in the kingdom of God and what He's doing in the earth. Here's the reality, and listen, I want to make this clear, because sometimes you can go to churches and they become, we're going to be the positive thinking church, or we're going to be the prosperity church, or we're going to be the leadership church. Listen, we're going to be the Jesus church, okay? But as you follow Jesus and His ways, you'll find out you will be prosperous. You will become a leader. You will be blessed in the earth, okay? And this is but we got to keep first things first. I don't want us to get off on that. But God's called you to lead. And I want you to see inside that when the leaders don't lead, the story slows down. Like God's story, it begins to slow. If you know what happened up till this moment in Joshua's life, that they were supposed to head into that promised land 40 years before, but they lacked the faith to go and enter in. And so the story slows down if the leaders don't lead. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you and provoke you to step out and lead for God. And so it's your turn and it's my turn. Joshua 1:6, it says this. It says to be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. That you're going to lead. And so I know sometimes I just know for a fact that there's some of you in here, you're like, I ain't no leader. Don't be pointing your finger at me saying I'm no leader. Hey, if you're a Christ follower, you are absolutely a leader. It's God's plan from the very beginning. Like, do you know in Genesis 1, verse 28, that God says this, to be fruitful, to increase in number, to fill the earth and subdue it. And then He says, rule it. Rule, in other words, lead in the earth. You fast forward all the way to the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, and you see that God's people again are encamped in the city of God, around the throne of God. For the record, it says that we'll no longer need the sun, because Christ's glory will be the sun, and we'll stand around the throne. And here's what it reads in Genesis 22. It says, and they, meaning the people of God, will reign forever and ever and ever. Leadership is what God's called the believer to do, to step out in faith and to be strong and courageous. And so that's what we're called to do. So take good notes here, because I want some great leaders at Every Nation New Jersey. Here's this: that number one, great leaders serve; that they're great servants. And see, the disciples didn't get it. And so if you're familiar, read the Gospels. Like the 12 disciples were a mess. Like when you read it, you know what their big argument all the time was? Hey man, which one of us is going to be the greatest? Right? I mean, these are our heroes that we're reading about. And so Jesus had to roll up his sleeves and do some work. In fact, it got so bad that James and John, they're called the sons of thunder. And but this is how great they were, that their mommy had to come up to Jesus like, Jesus, hey, listen, would you do me a favor? I want my babies to sit on your right and on your left hand, right? And so Jesus is like, all right, pump the brakes a minute. You fools aren't getting it. It doesn't read quite like that, but this is my paraphrase of it. You fools are not getting it. Sit down. I'm going to tell you something. He says this. He goes, whoever wants to be the greatest among you, you're going to have to serve the most. And that's the reality. So we all can lead people by serving. Like, I got to see this firsthand. So I was playing for the Hartford Whalers a long, long time ago, playing hockey. And so if you're familiar with hockey, football does it too. They have captains. And so we got to vote one year to see who would wear the C or be the captain of our hockey team. And so there's two guys. There was one guy who was the best player. His name was Pat Verbeek. And usually they just kind of give it to the best guy. But this year, they let the players vote on who they wanted to be their leader. And so we had this guy, Randy Lattiser. I have a fondness and affection in my heart for Randy Lattiser. You know why? He gave me my first nickname. Like, if you've ever been in sports, like sometimes I don't even know guys on my team's names because they're just nicknames. That's just Smitty or, you know, whatever, Spike or whatever his name. Like, I don't even know their real name, you know, but you go by nicknames. And so for years, people tried to give me one. And so my name's Adam Bird. It's a little tough to work with. One coach called me Addy. I mean, give me a break. How ridiculous is that, right? Birdie. Oh, there's another one. No, thank you. But then finally, Randy Lattiser, for the record, his nickname was Dumbo because he had big ears. So I'm okay with mine. He christened me Ads. And so now I've been Pastor Ads or Ads, and so I'm cool with that. If you call me Addy, you will be under church discipline, and you'll be kicked out of the church, just for the record, okay? But Laddie, Randy Lattiser Dumbo, he actually was a guy when young people came onto our church, or our church, onto our team, he would take them into his home, feed them. Hey, man, stay at my place. He took these young guys under his wing. He served these young men. And you know what? When it came time to vote, they said, I want that guy to lead me. See, whoever wants to be the greatest, lead the best, is going to serve the most. And so, you know what Joshua did? Joshua served Moses and the people of Israel. How about this? You think you had a lot of jobs? He's like he did this. He's a spy. He was a general. He was Moses' personal assistant. Like, this brother worked and served people. And when it came time to enter the promised land, God tapped Joshua and he says, you're the leader. You're the one who's going to take people into their promised land. Here's another simple thing. If you want to be a leader, do this. Be great where you're at. Like, I can't tell you how many people are like, well, one day if someone would just give me my chance and then I will go do, you know. No. Well, how about just being amazing right where you're at right now? And then when people see that, they'll see fit to promote you. Like there's a guy, David, in the Bible. You heard him? He's kind of a big deal. Killed a giant and that kind of thing. Well, David, it's interesting. You know how his big moment came? You know what David was doing? He wasn't some great warrior or doing anything. He was carrying cheese to the front lines of the battle. Like he was like going to the soldiers, hey, you want some Gouda? Hey, how about some American and provolone? Right? It's just, that was what he was doing. And then in that moment, as he was serving in the nominal things, God called him up, hey, I want you to kill this big guy over here, right? And so David was faithful and great, whatever was in his hands. Like it said, he played the harp. Like he was so good at it that demons flew. It says that he worked the sling. If you don't think he was good with the sling, ask Goliath. Right? He shepherded just a few sheep, but he was pretty darn good at it. You just ask the lion and the bear, okay, if you don't know that. And for the record, whoever thought that there was bears in the Middle East, right? That was news to me, but that's has nothing to do with the sermon. And so leadership, there's a guy, John Maxwell. He's written anywhere between 2,000 leadership books. And he says this, he says that leadership is simply this, influence. And so how is your life influencing other people for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because whether you know it or not, your life tells a story. 2 Corinthians will say this, that you're a letter written by God and read by men. And so what do people see when they see your life? So I was reading this book, It All Goes Back in the Box by John Ortberg, and he tells the story. Now, we've all seen this person before, right? So it's a woman, she's driving her car, and peppered all over the back bumper of her car is the fish, right? Is the I Heart Jesus bumper sticker, the WWJD bumper sticker, like it's just all over the place. Until she's driving along and the person in front of her slams on the brakes at a yellow light. She's got to lock him up behind it and she's mad because she wanted to get through that light. And so what does she do? She lets him have it. Bam! She's on the horn. She's giving him the bird, giving her the word, all that kind of stuff. And she's just having at it until she hears knocking on her window an officer of the law. And so she's like, miss, roll down your window. Could you please step out of the car and put your hands behind your back? Excuse me, would you get in the back of the squad car, puts her in the back of the squad car, runs a reporter on her, and then afterwards lets her out. And miss, I apologize for the misunderstanding. I just saw the back of your car with all the fish and the what would Jesus do, and I assumed you had stolen the car. So your life tells a story. And so what story is your life telling? Great leaders are great followers. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. It says this, be strong and very courageous. Be very careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And so great leaders are great followers. Like, do you know that Jesus, the greatest leader our planet has ever known, in that Jesus says, hey, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. So Jesus, the greatest leader ever, was the greatest follower of God the Father. And that now that we follow Jesus, Paul was a pretty big deal in the Bible, right? When you write 2/3 of the New Testament, you're doing pretty good. And Paul says this, follow me as I follow Christ. I referenced to the 12 disciples. If you know their story, like they're a mess. Like they're just a bunch of fishermen, tax collectors, and you know what? They're all of them are from Galilee except for one, Judas. And you know what Galilee is? Galilee is backwoods Kentucky, okay? Like the disciples, they're a bunch of rednecks. And if you're a redneck in here, God bless you. You're welcome here. We love you. We embrace you. All right? But that's who they were. But when Jesus, they got done following Jesus, they were known as the 12, right? That says of them that they absolutely turned the world upside down. And so great leaders are great followers. And we're reading about that you're not to let this book depart from your mouth, that you're to meditate on it day and night, that the idea is as we align our life with the Word of God, that you'll be prosperous, that you'll be successful. And so, in other words, when people see your life, see people that are prosperous and successful, they live attractive lives. Notice I never said it was an easy life, But I did say when you're living under the principles of God, you will have a great marriage, okay? You will be a great parent. You will be a great employee, all these things. And when they see it, people will be drawn to it. Now, don't hear me say, because sometimes we make this book sound like math, right? A plus B equals C. That's not how it works. This book is not math, but it is a path. It's a trajectory for your life. And as you walk in it, it'll take you places you want to go. Notice what it says. It says, don't let the word depart from your mouth. But hey, you better meditate on it. Don't let it, just keep talking about it. Keep it always before you. You know why? Because here's the reality is all of us at some point that we think we're smarter than God. And you probably wouldn't say that. You're like, no, Pastor, you're a liar, okay? Because you might not say it with your mouth, but your life tells a different story. And so here we have God as the creator of the heavens and the earth. Right? And then here we have, like me, I got my 12th grade education. Congratulations. I'm going to tell God how the universe works. It just doesn't happen that way. Paul, do we have the video? Does it work? We got a video for you guys. I think this is a great picture of this. Can we turn it up a little bit, Dan? That's good, Paul. That's good. I had to wait for the honey part, right? So here's this guy. Here we have this little guy. He can't tie his shoes yet, but yet he's going to tell his mom how it should go and how it works. And that's totally a picture of us before Almighty God, trying to tell him how the universe works. Listen to me, right? But like it's funny and we can giggle at it, but you know what's it's tragic when you see it actually begin to play out. It's like the scripture records the story of the prodigal son. And for the record, sin always feels like freedom at the start, but that in the end, it always leads to slavery and to bondage. Like the prodigal son, give me my inheritance. And he goes, and it's a real good time for a little while until he wakes up in the muck and the mire and says, how did I get to this place? Like there's a pastor who was telling the story of a guy who's a sex addict. For the record, do you guys know that someone who's a sex addict, there's a greater recovery rate for someone that's a crystal meth user, right? It's just very few people get free from that. And here's what he told this pastor. He says, you know, at first, it just felt like I was stepping into freedom, that I get to do what I want. And he goes, now I'm a slave. I just can't quit. It owns me, right? And so it can be tragic. But as we align ourselves with the Word of God, it's leading us into life. Like, you got to see God's Word not as prison, but rather as guardrails. Amen. I know I had this experience. I drove my youngest daughter, Elizabeth, 26 hours from New Jersey down to Houston, Texas. We did 26 straight. Like, I don't know if I could, I don't know if I could ever have another 5-hour energy in my life, right? And so much coffee. And it's just like, you just want to survive, you know, as you're going down. And I remember we're driving through Louisiana and through the bayou and all this stuff. And there's just a dense fog. I can't see, but I'm like, we're making it. We're going to go, right? And I'm driving and I'm thanking God Almighty for the lines that they put in the expressway, that they reflect the light, and for the guardrail on the side of the bridge. Because at this moment, I'm like, this could go bad at any moment. And I just need to stay on the path. And that's what God does for us. He gives us guardrails. And here's the last point in Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9, it says this, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And so, see, here's the deal. Is you know that you and I can be strong and courageous because God's with us. Like if you have an awareness of who is with you, that transforms your life. If you read the Bible, and here's where I think we miss it. We think the primary really thing received from the Bible is this, is that God says, "I will forgive you." Yes, that's true. But you know, the primary thing God says is this, "I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you." And so if you're familiar, if you've been following the news at all, we had just a couple weeks back, we had that shooting in Portland, Oregon, in the campus, and it's just become, it brought me back to 2012 in December, the Sandy Hook shooting at the little elementary school. And I don't know if you remember the story, but there was one teacher that had barricaded her students in a utility closet, and they were all gathered around, and she was trying to be brave for the children, and she just couldn't pull it together, and she's violently sobbing. One little boy about Brendan's age, he came over, and he calmed everybody down. "It's okay, it's okay." And here's what he said, "I know karate," right? And so it's adorable and sweet, but not very comforting, right? And so the reality is that Almighty God says, "I am with you." This is why I'm always going to be a theology geek, because theology is the study of God. Do you know who's with you? Like the characteristics of God is this, he's omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. That for God, like if you're a Christian, like it's never too late for you, because God, there's nothing God can't do. Like Lazarus was a dude in the grave for 4 days, and everyone's response was this, "It's too late, it's too late, it's too late." It ain't too late for God, because he says, "Hey, roll away that stone, and Lazarus, get out of there," right? And so that's so if you have broken dreams, like if you feel like it's too late for you, you feel like, "Man, I've really missed the bus," hey, it's not, because God is omnipotent. You remember our boy Moses? Do you know Moses led people out of Egypt, wandered 40 years in the desert, got right up to the brink of his promised land. He got to see it, but he never got to enter it. Until we read in the Gospels, on the mountain of transfiguration, in the promised land, is Moses in a resurrected body meeting with Christ. For the record, men in the resurrected body, we're all going to have abs. It's going to be amazing. Omnipresence, that there's an omnipresence, that God is everywhere at once. And so this hit me at home a lot this week. So you might want to think about before you join this church with me as the lead pastor, because I left my home and I was so scatterbrained that I let my dog out before I was going to leave for the day. And I let Bentley, my prized golden retriever, if it was my Cocker Spaniel, I could care less if I left him out all day. But I left Bentley out, and so I didn't know. And I get in my car, I'm backing out the car, and I literally think to myself, "I'm forgetting something." And then I saw, no, I got my gym bag here, I'm okay. I pull out, and so there's people in my neighborhood are trying to contact my home and everything, because they see my golden retriever running in the street and all this. I don't know any better. I'm just going through my day. 3 o'clock, my wife finally gets a hold of me. "You got to get home. Bentley's running around the neighborhood loose." I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And then it all starts playing back in my head. That's what I forgot. And so I go back, and my neighbor, Sally, she's blind, but she has her daughter who's a dog lover, and Sally's giving me the play-by-play of what happened. She says, my oldest daughter, she said, she found Bentley, and I told her to go bring Bentley, go knock on your door and bring Bentley back home. And she says to me, this is way too much information. She says to me, "Mom, you know I can't go. I haven't showered in 3 days." I'm like, I'm sure she's really glad that she shared that with me, right? And now I'm sharing it with you, and it's on the podcast. Awesome, okay? But here's the deal, is you know that they couldn't get a hold of me. You know that never happens with God. Like you're never out of his reach, that he's with you always and everywhere, that there's no place, that the psalmist says this, "If I go to the depths of the sea, you're there. If I go to the heights of the mountains, you're there. Where can I go from your presence?" And so he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's all-knowing. And what that means is he's never surprised. Like, that should give us such so much strength and courage that he's never taken off guard. So this Wednesday is my wife's birthday. It's become more of a celebration because we had a surprise 27th birthday for my wife, Susan. And so all her family came in. I got my family on the front row from Canada. They surprised. And for the record, my wife has always says, if you ever give me a surprise, I do not like surprises. So it was Cassie's idea. And so so we came, and I think it's going really well. But after my relatives leave, if I go missing, all right, I'm just saying report it to the authorities, okay? So, but here's the reality. Like, in December, do you know what? It's going to be Jesus' birthday, December 25th. And so what do you think if we just throw him a surprise party? Do you want to do that? Let's do that. We'll just get everybody together, right? Like, that's ridiculous because God can't be surprised. And so he's never, like, sees your circumstances and has to have a holy huddle and be like, Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus, what are we going to do? I didn't see what was going to happen to Lanise. I'm, you know, and no, that never happens to God. He's never caught off guard. And so that should stir in us a comfort and a strength. And here's the last thing. And this might be a new one. Do you know that God's omnibenevolent, that he's all loving? Now, don't hear me say something I'm not saying. It doesn't mean he's like the love fairy, right? That you can do whatever you want and he's just, I love you and love and love. That's not who God is. Sometimes love can be ferocious, right? And all the mothers said, amen. Like, I know my dad, like, I had a fire thing growing up. I was like a little pyro as a little boy. Tried to burn the house down a couple times until my pops came home and drug little six-year-old Adam out of the bed. And you think he was Indiana Jones, man. He took that belt off and like, you know, dun, 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 and he's just, dad's whooping my behind, and I, to this day, don't like fire, okay? And so that was my father's love for me. But God is love, and this is going to help some of us, because some of us grew up with homes that our parent figure in our life, it was random, was moody. And so you realize something would happen and you'd be like, oh my gosh, we've got to be on eggshells and all this until they calm down. That's not God. That he's omnibenevolent. There's a steadfastness to God's love. And here's what he says. Perfect love, it drives out fear. That we can be strong and courageous. Would you stand with me? Here's what I just want to pray over us as we go. And just a quick reminder, that as always, that we have a lot of good food in the lobby area. We prayed all the fat out of it, so it's all healthy for you. And as well, we have our membership class that'll take place around 11:45. I just say this is, I believe it's the biblical idea that you don't go to church, but rather you belong. And so if you're thinking this might be your church, I want to encourage you, come and stay with us and go through the class. It's interactive. You can ask questions and whatnot. And if it's not us, then I want to encourage you. There's tons of great churches in the area, and just to really go plug in and to be a part. And so let me pray over us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every man, woman, and child in this place here today. Lord, I thank you that we, every nation in New Jersey, are a people of destiny. Lord, I pray over each and every life. Lord, I pray that I prayed for the older generation in this place, that I want you to know that you're not finished. God's not done with you. While you have breath in your lungs, God has a purpose and a mission for you. You're not too late. I want to pray for the young folks. I pray that right now, that even now, that in your heart is being birthed a clarity, a vision, and purpose. And I just pray for everyone, that no one would leave here without understanding and believing that God, you're going to use me and do great things in me and through me. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed said,